the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryu. We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Now, normally in each episode, our guest comes on and picks two shows in each of their three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows. But for this episode, we're doing things a little bit differently. For the first time ever, we have a couple on the podcast. So we're changing up the format just a little bit. But first, let's bring on our two amazing guests. She is a TV and film and events producer extraordinaire, and he is an actor, a model, pro athlete, and star player for the Harlem Globetrotters. Please welcome Ellie Cano and Brawley Chisholm. What's going on, guys?
Woo! Woo!
Yeah, the crowd goes wild.
Excited to be here and your first couple honor.
I know. We're so excited to have you.
I'm excited too.
It's going to be so much fun.
This is so exciting. So Ellie, you and I, we worked together at a production company a couple years back and instantly connected because we watched a lot of the same shows and you were always a really fun TV chat. And then I've known Brawley for a little bit through you as well. And every time we hang out, it's the same thing. We're always talking shows. So I'm like, if there's ever going to be a couple to be our first couples episode, it was always going to be you guys. So this is so much fun. So before we get into like talking about your shows, and let's not spoil any of the criteria stuff, but like what was the kind of like early TV connections that you guys had in like early days of the relationship?
Like with us, we're just TV heads. Like if we ever start watching TV together, I think like we're just going to break up. Like TV, if there's one thing I know, if I'm in trouble, let's just watch a movie or a TV show, babe. That's going to save me forever.
TV will calm me down. TV will take my mind off of it.
Do you guys watch a lot together? Or are there certain shows that like Ellie, you might watch and Brawley, you don't watch? Or like ones that like if one watches without the other, there's going to be a problem?
All of the above. Yeah. Yes. So I've always been highly obsessed with television. So I watch like a very wide genre of things. And I think there are definitely things that I watch that Brawley doesn't watch, and same with him. But he and I will watch shows together and it's really fun. But when we can binge them together, it's great. But like when he goes on tour or I'm working and he's not on tour, and then one of us starts watching without each other, we bump heads.
Yes. it starts to get real complicated, and like we'll watch the show together and then she'll just like it more than me, and then she'll just finish the journey without me,
right?
Or he'll fall asleep.
Oh yeah.
I don't fall asleep. I can't, like, I physically can't fall asleep if the television is on.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm just sucked in. So oops, you fell asleep. I have to watch these four more episodes without you.
Okay, so we're very excited to talk to you guys with this couples criteria. So like I mentioned at the top, the format is switching up a little bit. We'll get into it in specifics a little bit later. But basically what we did is instead of each of you choosing two shows, because that would be like a really packed, really super long episode, we kind of each had you do one best, one favorite, one forever. And then you came together to do a couple's best, favorite, and forever. So we'll talk about nine shows in total. But first, we should talk about anything that didn't make the cut.
Yeah. So like, what are the shows that kind of almost made your criteria? Like what shows were like kind of in the mix for your best, favorite, and forever, but they didn't quite make the cut? So what were some of your like almost shows, your like honorable mentions?
One of the very close almost for me was Handmaid's Tale.
Ooh, that's intense. That's a lot.
Where would it have fallen at? A best or a favorite? Please never a forever, right?
Oh my God. I thought about that and I was like, if I watched that forever, I would be so sad and like curled up in a corner. So tense all the time. No, could not be forever. I would think best, just because it's a great watch. It's a hard watch. It takes you through a lot of emotions and a lot of ups and downs. And I get really invested. And I reference it a lot. I feel like, this is going on in the world today. Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Brawley, what about you? What was close?
This was very difficult. So I was just I was all over the place. But my number one almost pick was one of my favorite shows. And I'm sad I couldn't pick it, but it was How to Make It in America.
Oh, they got canceled. Oh.
Yeah, on HBO.
That was an awesome. I remember that show. Yeah.
Very entrepreneurial, inner city people from New York City just trying to make it. An everyday person from New York, not Sex in the City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking outer boroughs, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Outer boroughs. It was special to me. I really liked it. I was mad HBO canceled it. That's one of my favorite shows.
That's a great pull that no one has mentioned on the podcast yet. You're the first to bring it up. So I love that. One of the best theme songs. Incredible.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible theme song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Probably that's a great show. Ellie, any others on your list? We can keep pinging back and forth here if there's more Alma shows.
Yeah. So a show that I sent in my initial email to you guys and then I had to retract, but Insecure. It's such a good show. Everyone has to watch that show. It's just real life. You just can really relate to these women and what they go through and the relationships and their friendships, ups and down, and really that it's just these Black women living their lives. Like there aren't enough TV shows that way. Like that.
Yeah. That show's so good. And you're so right that like these women being women and mm-hmm. they're Black and being Black is a part of their story, but it's not like, well, my baby daddy did this and
you're not bombarded by all of this. Everything's about racism or everything's about slavery or anything like that. It's these Black women today living their lives. And you see the struggle of one friend being successful and one friend trying to figure it out. And I'm like, I completely relate.
Sure.
And like they have so many layers. It's like, is Molly the worst? I don't know, maybe. But like sometimes I love her, but sometimes I'm like, oh, you're not a good friend.
Right. Like, why are you guys fighting? And then when they're fighting, that whole season when they're fighting, I was like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
another would be a forever or favorite even would be a Grey's Anatomy. Like a lot of like those network shows.
That's a great forever. There's 1,000 episodes.
It's a million. I could watch it for the rest of my life and then it wouldn't be over.
Right, so. Exactly. That's great. Brawley, any more on yours? And then we'll jump to the list.
I had Last Chance You.
Oh, okay. That's a great show. That's a great fucking show. Mm-hmm.
I love Last Chance You because I was a JUCO product.
Oh, were you? Nice.
Yes, I went to Western Texas College before I went to Ball State. But I enjoyed it because it shows the trials and tribulations that kids go through before or if they even make a Division I school. Like, it's kind of like the bridge between high school and your Division I school that people normally wouldn't see. I enjoyed the show because I just saw everything that I went through.
Well, especially because then they broke, like the early seasons were all football teams and then they had a basketball season recently, right?
You just had a basketball recently, yeah. But I still enjoyed the football one.
Oh, sure.
But I just think it was, the idea of it was monumental.
So can I just like rapidly list off the ones on my list?
And yeah. Let's keep going.
Because they're honorable mentions and I want to honor them.
Yeah.
Reservation Dogs.
Oh, this season was incredible too.
Dan got me into that.
This was the show. This was our show where it was like, wait, we're the only two in the office that were watching it. And then we recruited others. But like that was the one that was like, okay, this is my office TV friend. This is great. This is good.
So we'd always like look over the computer like, hey, you watch it? Let's talk about it. New Girl.
Okay.
That was almost my, one of my forevers. It made me cry. It made me laugh. Love it. Power.
Oh, I haven't seen Power.
You haven't seen Power yet?
Gotta see that.
That's Stars, right? I don't get Stars.
Stars. Yeah. That's one of Brawley and I's shows.
Nice.
It was one of our shows with Power. And then Scandal, The Good Place, Law & Order SVU. I had to throw it in because that's something that I could just, like, I don't like to rewatch shows, but SVU, like, I could, that's something that, like, if I'm at a hotel, that goes on.
My rapid fire would be, I don't have as many as L, but mine was Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yep.
Narcos.
Ooh, good one. Also underrepresented on the podcast. That's a good one.
Yeah. Narcos and Hip Hop Evolution.
Oh, I don't know that. What's that?
What is that one?
It breaks down the evolution of hip hop from the first instrument all the way to music now. So we all think like the first hip hop song was hip hop to the hippie to the hip to the.
Right.
But that song came from like a jazz musician that made a song similar to that. So it's a beautiful watch.
Where can we find that? Where's that on?
That's on Netflix.
Oh, right on. Okay, cool. All right, shall we? Shall we jump into your BFF criterias, plural, and reveal your best favorites and forevers?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. So, quick recap. Your best shows are the ones you think are the most artistic, well-executed, or just overall like the best made shows you've ever seen. Your favorite shows, those are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart, maybe mean something to you a little bit more personally. And for the forever category, if in the afterlife you get to choose a show to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over, what is that show? And like I mentioned before, normally we have our guests choose two shows in each category, but because this is a couples episode, what we're going to do is Ellie, you're going to do one best, one favorite, one forever. Raleigh, you'll also do one best, one favorite, one forever. We'll kind of go back and forth with those. And then at the end, we'll do your couples criteria, your shared shows, your shared BFFs. And those are the best and favorite forever shows that you guys decided on together as a couple. And then we'll get to those towards the end.
Yes. And so for each category, we had you guys choose from the three overall genres of TV, which we're defining as comedy, drama, and all things unscripted. And unscripted is basically everything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows. The only thing is that there must be multiple episodes, so no one-offs. And other than that, it can be anything. And guess what? There's no such thing as guilty pleasures. If you watch it, we want to know about it. We want to talk about it because we love TV here. So nice. Let's talk about it all.
Nice.
Let's get into it. Yeah. Ellie, what is your best show?
So it's hard. It's very, very hard. But I whittled it down and I chose Lovecraft Country.
Oh,
I loved when I saw that you, so, you know, full disclosure for the listeners, everyone sends us their lists before just so we can make sure that we are kind of familiar with stuff or familiarize ourselves with anything that we don't know. But when I saw this was on your list, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm the only person that was watching it.
Oh, no!
And I was just like, I can't wait to talk about it because I feel robbed of a second season. So I would just love to know. So, you know, first of all, like for people who maybe don't know what it's about, just kind of give a little overview of kind of what is Lovecraft Country and then just like tell us why it's in your best.
Well, Lovecraft is about our main character, Atticus. He comes home from the war to try to find his dad, who had been missing for a couple of weeks, and his family go on this trip to find him, which this is in the 1950s. And so we are seeing very real traumas unfold. They are going through sundown towns. His uncle writes for the Green Book, so they're also trying to figure out places that are safe havens for Black people. And throughout the entire show, they talk about a lot of real traumas that happened throughout history, but also in a sci-fi way with all of this borderline horror sometimes, which...
Yeah, it was like sci-fi, horror, fantasy, mm-hmm. all of the above.
One of Lovecraft's stories.
So what do they look like?
A massive bubble blob with hundreds of eyes.
Oh, well, that's not scary at all. We can outrun a blob.
I'm George can.
You in the car, get out. And everybody come around to the back of the vehicle.
It's all right. Who are you?
George Freeman, sir. This here is my nephew, Atticus, and his friend, Letitia.
Where y'all from?
Chicago, sir.
You're a long way from home.
Oh, we're just passing through, taking a little bathroom break, sir, is all.
Any of you all know what a sundown town is?
Yes, sir, we do.
Well, this is a sundown county. If I had found you pissing in my woods like animals after dark, it would have been my sworn duty to hang every single one of you from them trees.
It's not sundown yet.
Sunset is at 7:09 today. That's 7 minutes from now.
Then we'll be out of the county in six.
Why don't you give it a try?
But I am the biggest scaredy cat. I hate horror. I close my eyes, I plug my ears, I can't do anything horror. But it was just so, it brought it all to be so real. There would be like aliens and there would be these monsters, but all metaphors of true life and completely robbed that there wasn't a second season. I cannot believe, still to this day, I'm so angry that there's only one season.
One of the biggest missteps in HBO history, like you had Jonathan Majors, you have Journey Smollett, you have Michael K. Williams, and it's like a show that took a lot of people by storm and just like unceremoniously canceled. It was so dumb. I was so mad.
And I there's so much more to see. Like I wanted to see Aretha Blues a storyline. Like, where did she go? What was she doing? Like, all I wanted to know where Atticus was going to happen, what was going to happen to Letty, like Ruby, all the characters. They had so much more storyline to give, and it was just so good.
Yeah.
Wow. I was walking, I walked out of my apartment, this was a couple weeks ago, and there was this girl walking towards me, and the way that she was walking was exactly like those twins. Oh, and I was like, get out of my face.
Get away. Not okay. I'm out.
But like, but there was nobody that I could like text to be like, guess what I just saw?
Text me. I want to know. Oh my God.
Great show. Broly, let's jump to you. What's your best show?
Please don't judge me, because Ellie just, she broke down her show so eloquently. There's no competition with what I'm about to say. Best show, it has to be The Wire.
Mm.
That's a great best pick.
Yes.
Yes.
So good.
It blew me by storm when I first watched it, just because I'm just big on common sense.
Okay.
And I'm big on, even though I shouldn't do this, but a lot of situations that happen, I'll be like, I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes it gets under my skin when like a character just does something just for the storyline, when I'm big on the realness of a story. And I feel like writers should do a better job with, I know it's Hollywood, but we need to keep it as organic as possible. And I feel like The Wire did that. Like, it's like when somebody's supposed to die, they're going to die. Like when somebody, when somebody does something right, like they're awarded. Like, it has that yin and the yang. And for five seasons, I feel like it was just thought out right. Like, from A to Z, the writing was impeccable to me.
Listen, I think you're making a great point. Give yourself a little bit more credit, because I think you're right. Like,
thank you.
A best show really does, like, the writing is the core of it. And I think you make a good point about, like, characters acting authentically, or to, like, for instance, like a hallmark of bad writing is a character's motivations or opinions or personality changes to service the plot, right? That's lazy writing. And that's what that's what you're picking up on, right? So when that doesn't happen, that's natural, authentic, true to life writing. That's noticeable, right? That's a big deal, and it makes all the difference in a show, especially like The Wire.
Can I just make an announcement? I'm ashamed to say I have not watched The Wire.
Yeah, she hasn't seen it. She hasn't seen it.
You gotta watch it.
I know.
And the wedding's still going forward, huh?
You know what? I need to rethink it now.
Yeah. I know. I should have said that.
All right, let's move on. Again, we're gonna save your couples criteria to the end. So, Ellie, let's move on to your favorite show that you chose.
Yeah. So, talking about nostalgia, that's what kind of the word I keyed in on for my favorite, and I chose Charmed.
I love that.
I don't know Charmed. Tell us about it.
Charmed is about three sisters. Well, it started out three sisters, then one, whatever, spoiler, died.
Ellie loves spoiling her shows. I love it.
It's a really old show. It came out when I was 9, and I was obsessed. So yeah, three sisters. Power three, it's about witches, witchcraft, and they don't know that they're witches, and then they figure out that they are, and they have this book of shadows, and they're ancestral home, and they go through all of this stuff. They have to fight a bunch of demons, save the world, and love it. So I was obsessed as a 9 and 10 year old. And when I would go, I was very like involved in like different activities, and I was always always be out of the house. But I would prepare a blank VHS tape in the VCR, and I would tell my mom, 6 p.m. you push that in and you press record, the red button that says record. And if I was at a place that had a phone, I would make sure to call her and be like, hey, is it you or Poppy who's by the TV? Go press record on Charmed.
Yeah, it's 5:58. Go do it right now.
Start now. I'll get the commercial before. Like, I was very, very particular about watching Charmed and recording it and watching it back on VHS tape.
Now, was this a you show, or did like your friends watch it, or was just like, I remember as a kid, like there were certain things that like felt like mine. Like, it's my own like little secret, like my secret show or whatever it is. Like, was that like what that was like? Or did you like share it with your friends and get other people involved with it?
That's a really good question. And to think about it, I think it was more of a me thing.
Oh, cool.
I grew up glued to the television, and my friends like knew. And my mom and my dad, like, don't talk to her if she's watching TV. Like, I'm not going to listen to you. Like, this is my best friend. I just love television. And I don't remember sharing Charmed with anyone else. I just remember love watching it and just I must have talked about it to people because I love to talk about TV also.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember it was always just my thing.
Ellie, I'm sensing a supernatural theme here. I'm into it. Yes. I'm digging it.
I do love a supernatural. I do love a thriller. I love something that's kind of twisty that makes me think.
You like a genre? I dig it. Let's see if we can pick up a theme on Brawley's end. Brawley, what's your favorite show?
This was tough for me. Keep it real.
Why? And like what thought was going into it? Like what made it tough?
A lot. Like even Ellie always yells at me all the time. And this is one of them. She was like, "You have to pick one." I was like, I'm like, yo, I can't. But anyway, I end up picking Martin.
It's a classic. It's a great favorite.
Yeah.
But I feel like I like Martin because he was not only just funny, like I just loved his character. He found a way to be himself in his own show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then also like four other characters, you know?
And four other characters, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Exactly. So one, he inspired me just, I loved his romance with Gina. I loved how, because I'm the same way, like I'm silly, yet serious, yet like I just loved how he had a good balance with, like, I just loved that. He knew how to get on her nerves and like romance her back.
Brawley knows how to do that.
Push it to her limits and like bring her back home.
Sure.
And it was part of culture. I feel like he had like a lot of people like guest stars.
So you were watching it like when it was like in the 90s.
Right. I would watch it. Yeah.
Were you watching it like with your family? Because like my family, we watched Martin together. That was one of the shows that we all watched together.
Yeah. I didn't watch it with my family. I watched it on my own. I was lucky enough to have my own TV in my room.
Ooh, that's nice. Cool.
So, you know, a little small one, but I watched it in my room.
A little humble bag from Brawley there.
Yeah. There you go.
Growing up with the TV in the room.
So did I. Had to.
But I have an inner Martin in me. So like,
oh, I love it.
When you think of Martin, what's the scene or the episode that like jumps out to you?
I would say definitely this one was the funniest. Like he was telling Gina, you could step. You could leave. And then she walked out the door. He was like, no. He started crying. Like, please don't leave.
This is where Brawley learned his moves.
Yes.
Martin was always on Gina's last nerve.
Exactly.
Ellie, tell us more ways that Brawley's like Martin.
Well, for that to a T. So let's get into it now. But that was such a good example because, and also what you said, Brandy, about how Martin was always on Gina's last nerve. Brawley's always on my last nerve, but like in the best way. And he will joke around so much, but then just be like, no, I love you. Like, come back. Try to act hard, but just be a big teddy bear. Like watching Martin, I'm like, oh, similarities. Yeah.
Ellie, what's your forever show?
Okay, so forever was first going to be Insecure, but then I did change it to Jane the Virgin.
Oh, I love this for you.
Such a great show. It's just such a great show. I mean, if you haven't seen it, a virgin who at 23 years old is accidentally artificially inseminated with the sperm who she doesn't know that was her boss. And she was always, she was in a relationship. She was established in her, like, what she wanted in life. And then obviously this takes her for a turn and it's a modern day, like, telenovela. And I just love it. So fun.
That's a wild premise.
Every single thing that happens in the show is a wild telenovela-esque plot twist, but it just all works because the characters are so richly drawn and like feel like real people. So like you can get behind, like, she did artificially inseminate you with her brother's sperm and he's your boss.
Yo, that's crazy, yo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. She does have a twin sister who's evil.
Yes. Like, I know. Her child gets stolen by an evil, like, criminal mastermind. Yes, that makes sense. And then she's networking from behind bars and then she pops up and then there is an evil twin. And then somebody dies and then comes back to life. Like, because he had amnesia. Yes. It all makes sense.
Like every single trope, it's amazing.
So Ellie, you mentioned you don't rewatch stuff a lot. So what about this show, knowing that this would be your perpetual rewatch and your only rewatch outside of your couple forever that we'll get to? What about this made it forever worthy for someone who doesn't do a ton of rewatching?
Yeah. As someone who just loves television so much, I don't like to rewatch shows. I like to just go on to the new one and watch new stuff. I think with Jane the Virgin, because it has so many twists and turns, and it's has the comedy, it has the drama, it has the tears, it has the different types of relationships. It's a Latina family, and there's not a lot of like Latina representation a lot in television. So that was just like a huge draw for me. And there's a lot of like, there's a bunch of different storylines within this whole series. That's like, that's why I could just watch it from beginning to end forever, because it's like watching different TV shows.
It also like transitions pretty seamlessly between English and Spanish, because her grandmother only speaks Spanish, but you never, I feel like I didn't even notice that.
Right.
But, you know, like, I mean, yeah. You've got like the subtitles there and stuff, but it's not like, I don't know. It was great. And her grandmother was like, and like she was here like illegally. So that was a whole storyline of like her getting citizenship and stuff. Mm. And like just really seeing those real stories. Cause I feel like you hear about this stuff all the time, but it's like, I don't have any like real experience with anyone who is in that situation. And so it was really cool to just see, like, it was just really interesting to see this is what that looks like.
Yeah. And also another, like a real storyline is like how Jane is such a perfectionist. And then her child, he's growing up to have like these problems in school, like ADHD, and his brain is wired differently. And she doesn't know how to teach him. And so she needs to have help to learn how to teach him. And those are real things that happen to parents that you don't necessarily talk about on TV and in like fun, lighthearted shows to see that side as well. Like that's why it takes you on this roller coaster.
Wow. What a great pick. And what a great pitch, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's no, really good.
You would really like it, Dan. I know. Yeah. I know you
Dan,
would.
It came on and then Crazy Ex-Girlfriend came on. Like, it was a wonderful night of television.
Oh, get out of town. Oh, Brandy got me into Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's a fun show.
I never watched that.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's one you should get into. It's so good.
All right, Brian, let's round out your criteria. What is your forever show?
My forever show... It's so funny because I'm so like last minute. So I want to change it so bad, but...
Ooh, you can if you want.
You can, yeah.
You can. Let's work through it, man. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, why do you want to change it? What do you want to change it to?
Only reason why I want to change it because when you say forever,
forever,
it means like the last thing you want to watch. And like you could watch it and fall asleep on it and wake up and watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to stick to my guns.
Okay, I like it.
I'm gonna go with The Last Dance by Michael Jordan.
The MJ documentary, sure.
When I was young, I used to watch Come Fly With Me every day after school. Every day after school. And me and my friend would watch it, and we just use it to motivate ourselves to go outside and go work out. We never stopped watching this movie. But since it's not a movie, it makes the criteria. And it was great. Like, I really watched it. Me and Ellie watched it during the midst of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I haven't watched it again since. But I know that if I ever needed a sense of confidence or a sense of anything, if it's my last show, let's just say, God forbid, anything of health happens to me, I feel like I can beat it if I watch The Last Dance.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. We're going deep. I love it.
It's like some type of like...
It's going to pump you up.
Yeah, it's going to pump me up. Like it's something like, it's going to make me like fight.
Yeah. I mean, The Last Dance might be, it's in the conversation, even though it's recent, and this might be recency bias, but like in the conversation for the best sports documentary of all time.
I agree. It has to be. I think it's up there.
Even when it was first announced, I'm like, really? 10 fucking parts? Really? That sounds like a lot. And then you watch and you're like, no, that made sense.
Yeah. And it's like, I literally am edge of my seat on something that like, all I have to do is like Wikipedia. Like I know what happened.
Yeah. You can figure out their record. Yeah.
Like I was alive.
When we were watching that, I was like, Rip, what happens? Like what really happened in real life?
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't want to wait till the next episode. Like tell me what happens to Scottie Pippen? Like,
and what made it cool to me as well was the fact that they still had content that never came out before.
Yeah.
Because just like, let's just say Michael's interviews or just the internal beef that we didn't know what was going on, that when you watch sports now, it's an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if that dynasty would have even lasted in this era because of social media.
That's a great point.
And because of everybody digging in your personal information.
It would have been aired out.
It would have been aired out.
And what's interesting is they kind of lean into that, right? Like some of the most iconic moments are like, hey, Michael, here's the iPad. Look at what Scotty said. Look at what so-and-so said. Look at what Magic said. and reacting in real time, right? To kind of, that is kind of that vibe, right? Like they couldn't air it out then publicly. Mm-hmm. So the filmmakers are like, you're going to do it now then instead. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. I think that's what made it really engaging. I also love this pick. And what we found, like we've done a ton of episodes now, had a ton of conversations that I find that some of the Forever shows, whether it's intentional or subconscious, but they tend to be things that remind you of your happiest times or the things that bring you joy on earth, right? If this is in the afterlife, here's a document about, I don't know if you said it, he's your favorite player, but one of the most iconic mm-hmm. players of all time that mm-hmm. clicks into something that's been a huge part of your life, being an athlete, being a basketball player, right? So mm-hmm. that tracks for me, even though, you know, it's not 100 episodes, it feels like a good fit as a Forever mm-hmm. show. You know what I mean?
No, thank you. I appreciate it. And unfortunately, it's still in a sport criteria. You know, I think as athletes, I think LeBron says it all the time, like it's more than an athlete, you know?
Well, because I think it touches on more than an athlete, right? I think we all saw Michael as the greatest player of all time. And now we're like, oh, he's just, he can be just a petty fucking dude like anybody else. You Absolutely. Know, he's just a guy, you know?
It really took you behind the curtain in a way that we haven't been able to see before.
Everybody's dreading getting back on the plane and going back to Phoenix. So I just say, look, man, I don't know about you guys. I'm only packing one suit. We going back to win one game. I'm not going there to play two games.
Michael Jordan on a pull-up. Yes, Jordan for three. And Michael Jordan has tied the game. Jordan hits another three.
Michael had that ability where he was not going to let them lose. My mentality was to go out and win at any cost. If you don't want to live that regimented mentality, then you don't need to be alongside of me, because I'm going to ridicule you until you get on the same level with me.
All right, let's do a little mini recap, and then we'll get into the couple's criteria. So, Ellie Cano.
Yeah.
The best show Ellie has ever seen is Lovecraft Country. Her favorite show is Charmed, and she would watch Jane the Virgin forever. And Brawley Chisholm, the best show Brawley has ever seen is The Wire. His favorite show is Martin, and he would watch The Last Dance forever. These are great criteria, guys. These are wonderful. I know it was tough. I know we put the extra pressure on with one show in each category, but I think you guys both did splendidly.
All right, so guys, let's get into your couples BFF.
Woo!
So what is your... So these are the shows you guys came together as a couple to decide on. So what is your best show, your best couple show?
Our best couple show is Game of Thrones.
Yeah!
Well, so it makes, like, honestly, everything about that just makes so much sense. Game of Thrones is so much fun to watch with other people. Did you guys both, these are my questions about Game of Thrones for you. Did you both start watching it at the same time? Or did one of you start watching it and got the other into it?
She put me on that show, that girl right there.
Why am I not surprised? A fantasy show?
You know, I'm there. You know, I'm in there, like swimwear. And it's just so well done. Like, I compare everything, any type of period type show, I compare it to Game of Thrones. Like, that dress, you got at Macy's, but Game of Thrones, that is from the Dragon Age. Like, I don't know.
Elle watched the show before me. So it was one day, I don't know, I think I was off from work, just home. And I just, let me give it a try. I was fortunate enough to be able to watch Game of Thrones when it was at season 4.
That's a great time to dial in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I was able to binge it. But like I talked about earlier, like it was one of those other shows similar to The Wire where like it was just so real. The writing until the last season.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that last season.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about
we
it.
We don't have to.
We loved that like no one was safe.
No one was safe.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that person's dead. Oh, I liked that character. Now she's dead. Red Wedding. Like,
right. Kind of like a chessboard where so many pawns in front of you. You don't know which one's the main character. They were just orphan people. I was like, this is my show. Mm-hmm. Like, it don't get no realer than this.
Mm-hmm.
You reminded me of the way you talked about The Wire, right? Like, if someone's got to die, they're going to die. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Like, true to life, but Middle Ages, you know?
And only one gets to come back, Jane the Virgin style.
I hear that, exactly.
Yes, yes.
Just the one.
Just the one.
For a little bit of brownie points, we currently have the Game of Thrones Monopoly game in our space. Yeah, so we played that during the pandemic. That was fun too.
What are the most expensive spots?
Oh, good question.
King's Landing has to be, right?
I would think so.
You'd think so, because all the gold is there.
Mm-hmm. Old Town's probably expensive. Lannisport's probably expensive.
Another thing that, like, when Brawley and I are discussing something or something, and somebody doesn't believe the other person.
Oh, right.
We say, we have a code word to make you say the truth, and it's Valerian Steel.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm so sarcastic, and I'm always like, I'm a big prankster, and I'm always...
And he's sarcastic, and he's joking, but I'm like, what? Why are you joking about this? Is this the truth? Is this not Valerian Steel?
Yeah. And I have to say it. If I say any lie after Valerian Steel, then I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you can't. Wow. Or we're in trouble.
Yeah. Okay.
That's great. Let's move on. What is your shared favorite show?
What is our shared favorite show? Oh, it's Black Mirror.
Woo!
Ooh, really?
Yes.
I love this.
This is a first-time choice on the podcast, so this we're again, yay, making history. I love it. Rare to get an anthology show, especially an episode-to-episode anthology show. Let's dive into it. What about Black Mirror do you guys both love so much that's in your favorites?
I feel like Black Mirror, man, is a home run.
Yeah.
It is a playoff technology, the future, the current space we're in now. It's a masterpiece to me.
Yeah, Brawley and I will talk about it a lot. Like, we'll see situations and think like, oh, this is very Black Mirror-esque, or like think about the technology or where things are going. And because of the one implant one where he's in the army, I was like, never getting an implant. That's probably technology where we're headed.
Right.
Y'all ain't implanting me.
But what's interesting is though, like some of those episodes, I'm like, fuck that, never. But then some of them, I'm like, I mean,
I know,
like,
San Junipero.
San Junipero.
Oh.
I mean, and that's critically like maybe one, like a top five TV episode of all time, full stop. Yeah. San Junipero is absolutely excellent.
It's beautiful.
Black Mirror was one of my almost shows.
Nice. Nice.
That's right, it was.
I really enjoyed it. I have both Ashley O songs on my Spotify.
Oh, wow.
Like,
and I loved how there were different things that had little like Easter eggs, like nuggets that ran through each show.
Yeah, like the egg technology, right? Like that showed up a couple different times in a couple different ways.
Yeah, and there was in the one where they're like video games or they're on those bikes and stuff where there's like ads.
The Daniel Kaluuya episode, right?
Yeah. And there's ads like all over the place that correlated to another episode, and that was an ad from a different episode.
Oh,
and
man.
It's like, so you know you're in this same world. Like, I feel like what I loved about it was that it was so scary and unsettling, but like so real. Like, we're right on the edge of every single thing that goes down in that show, like could be happening right now.
Right.
Absolutely.
That technology is being formulated right now.
My favorite episode, the episode, I forget his name. Last name is Ham.
John Ham.
John Ham.
White Christmas.
White Christmas. One of my-
that one's fucked up, man.
Yo.
It's so good.
Yo. That was so sick, man. So like, and then my second episode, the one with the likes, similar playoff Instagram, but more or less.
That's very reminiscent of today, yeah.
With Bryce Dallas Howard.
It was like, yeah, imagine Instagram being your credit score. Like, that is crazy to me.
Hi there, how you doing?
I am wonderful.
I am so sorry, that flight is canceled.
So when is the next flight?
Yeah, they're all kind of full. I see there's one standby seat on another plane leaving tonight. That's reserved for members of our Prime Flight program. You gotta be a 4.2 or over to qualify.
Oh, I'm a 4.2.
I'm afraid you're actually a 4.183.
Well, that's not my fault. Some woman dinged me down in the cadre. Can't you just...
I'm sorry, it won't let me book it without the correct ranking.
But it's so close.
There's just nothing I can do.
Christ, I mean, surely.
I'm gonna have to ask you to moderate your language then.
Sorry, it's just... Can you call the supervisor?
I cannot do that.
Can you just call the supervisor?
I cannot do that.
Call the fucking supervisor.
Okay, that's profanity. We're zero tolerance on profanity.
I'm sorry, it's just...
Yeah, I have to serve the next customer.
No.
Step away, ma'am.
God, just fucking help me!
The two that stick out for me is the USS, what's it called, with Jesse Plemons, like the Star Trek kind of spoof where he's like creating this whole world.
Oh, yeah.
That one sticks out for me. And then a really early one, and like I was talking about before, like when you're thinking about like some of this tech, like I've thought about this tech before I ever saw Black Mirror. I didn't think of it as tech. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if you could just record everything you see and watch it later? And then entire history of you comes out. I'm like, maybe not that cool. Shit, maybe not. But like that one really sticks in my head because like, that was a thought that I had. And then like, it was just on this show and I'm like, oh man. Yeah. Careful what you wish for. You know,
that's like that's one that always stands out in my mind. The one that's recording everything you see and how it drives him crazy trying to log into what she sees. And the one that I mentioned before with the implant of the army guy who, and it's, but it's people above him, the government, telling him to see these human beings as cockroaches.
Right.
And telling him to murder these people just because they have deficits or like they just have, I mean, just because they have maybe like a disability, but they aren't a perfect human.
Right.
So they're a cockroach and you have to kill them, which insane. So, I mean, that also kind of like mirrors what happens in real life, but not to certain extents. It's
right.
It's just, it's crazy.
I read, what was the one with the, you could bring back your, the, your, somebody that died.
Oh man.
And put them into like, that one was.
Be right back.
That would be right back. Okay.
I mean, oh yeah. Cause that's like the AI of it all. Like, especially now you take someone's entire online presence. Like, can you re-engineer them as a human?
And like, where does the line draw from that one? And also other ones, I think it might've been the John Hamm one, or they actually kind of blur to me, but where do you draw the delineation of like who is a human or not? If you take some of your consciousness and put it in a box, like and it's a small you, and that little you is now having thoughts and feelings and emotions separate from you. So is it like, is that ethical?
This reminds me of Severance. Severance is like Black Mirror, but a whole series, right? Because when you sever yourself, for people who haven't seen Severance, it's an Apple TV Plus show. Excellent. But best show.
Excellent show.
One of the best shows of last year. I can't wait for it to come back. Was it last year or this year? Time's a flat circle. Who knows? Anyway.
Oh, God. I don't know.
I don't know.
Severance was excellent. But that was kind of the thing, too, is like if you sever your work and home life and they don't ever know each other, are you murdering your work life if you stop the program? You know what I mean? Like it's really wild ethical conundrums that the Black Mirror puts you through, which is, I think, why I like Severance so much, because it was like, oh, here's a Black Mirror storyline by the whole season. That's cool.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Wow. Guys, we just got deep on that one. That was good.
We got real
deep on that one.
Appreciate it, yeah.
All right, we have one left. One show left. What is, and this is a big one. You guys are in the afterlife together. You have one show to watch forever. What's it going to be?
I think this is our forever show because this is definitely like our show. Mm-hmm. But I would say for the first, okay, so the first three seasons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fourth season now, it's kind of losing me. But Stranger Things. Okay. Fourth season. Scary. It's very scary.
It is. It's so scary.
It's so scary. It's so scary. I was like,
I realized that I was like, I can't watch this by myself. I need other people in the house.
So Brawley and I, we love Stranger Things. And we, before the fourth season came out, we binged 1 through 3 and I was, and together again. And I was just like, oh, I'm reminded why I love this show. It like, it feels good. I'm in it with these kids and their adventures. And then I'm watching the first episode of season 4. And I'm like, what is happening? Oh, is this the same show?
Yeah, it got dark.
It got dark.
But I feel like it made sense to, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it had to, but whatever.
Because if you really think about it, I know this is not a show, but if you think about things like Harry Potter.
Sure.
If you think about what these kids are really enduring, this stuff is scary. Like, they're making it light for us to watch it.
Yeah.
But these are big demons. Like this is scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they just turned the temperature up. One, I feel like the world we're getting in is darker now.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are older. So it makes sense to make it scary because the people that watched it from when they was a kid, they're getting older and it might be kind of corny if you keep it where it was at. I feel like they made a good adjustment.
I think you're right. And the Harry Potter comp, I think, is a really good one because like those first couple books, those first couple movies were really like, more kid friendly.
Yes.
And then you get, you know, book 4 and Voldemort's back and like all of a sudden we're like,
killing people. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And like it goes down with the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a kind of an opposite experience from you, Ellie, whereas like seasons 1 through 3, I really loved a lot, but it wasn't quite in contention for me until season 4. And then just the story really starts coalescing and really starts coming together and it really starts, you realize like, okay, I didn't love season 3, but now after season 4, I like it a lot more because I can see how it's all connected and why choices were made and why.
Mm-hmm. For me, finding out why.
The story of it all is like just really now, because there's an end in sight and the last, mm-hmm. the next season is the final season. I'm like, they know what they're doing. They have the end in sight. They're writing towards it. This is TV at its best when you have like really strong creative minds mm-hmm. working within the perfectly sized box for that story. And now mm-hmm. I could kind of see like, okay, we're in the box now. Whereas before right. I was kind of like, what? This is all fun. This is all vibes. This is all cool. But like, what's it moving towards? And season four kind of got me there.
I love that they started putting it together. Yeah, like absolutely. I was like, okay.
I like when there's when I know that there's an end. I like when I know that I'm getting there, and I feel like with that show, like we should be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like they know they're going to land. That they're not going to give us a Game of Thrones season 8.
Right.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I think they will. I think every season's been his own. And I was kind of jealous when Stranger Things started getting popular. I'm not going to lie to you, because
right?
I just remember season one. And I used to ask like my teammates and friends, like, do y'all watch Stranger Things? Like, nobody used to know what it was.
Mm. And it was our thing.
It was me and Elle's thing. Like, it was our show. And right, then like, right. I just remember one of my friends telling me, did you see Stranger Things? I'm like, bro, you don't even like it like that.
You ain't been on it.
Yeah, we've been watching this.
Yes.
And another thing about it that was made it ours, is, and it's a funny thing, is because so during the intro, Brawley used to rap to me, and we can't remember what the rap was in its entirety, but he would be like, I'm going to get my girl a ring, a rose gold ring. This is before we were engaged. Yeah. And I was like, yeah!
Absolutely.
But it was to the Stranger Things soundtrack.
Yeah.
I love like your scope for this show, because it really challenges you to put yourself outside of your comfort zone to find out what do you really like. And I feel like as well as me being on the show and me picking my best favorite and forever shows is going to make me a better TV watcher now.
Oh, interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, because
say like more on that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important because as we know, we're TV connoisseurs.
Yeah, we all are. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We are. I feel like it kind of makes you, it challenges you to know what you like and love. Like, mm-hmm. I like this show, but I don't love it.
And then because Brawley and I really like to talk about things and talk about shows and talk about what we like and don't like and discuss, sometimes argue, sometimes agree. And I also was thinking about some shows that we recently watched together. Rami and Mo.
Oh, man.
Rami. Mo. I can't believe we haven't talked about Rami. That was one of ours,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Rami was good. Did you watch Mo? We just watched Mo.
I haven't seen Mo yet.
It's good. Yeah, it's binged that just the other day.
And also, like, Master of None.
Another
watched.
Good one. Yeah. These all feel like of a piece, kind of. You know what I mean? Like this very like singular creator driven mm-hmm. auteur type shows, you know, of a specific experience.
And we really love to experience those shows because you're experiencing other cultures, you're experiencing other lives. And these are real people, real humans. And we're taking a look at people just living life other than just the quote unquote standard is of just whiteness. Mm-hmm. So that's what we really also like to discover and really explore in TV.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you guys of what you are currently watching together that you're really into.
Good question. We just finished Mo, but what are we watching right now? What are we watching tonight, babe? What are we watching tonight?
You know what? We just watch so much stuff that we just like, we can't find anything else to watch.
Yeah.
What? There's so much.
I know.
No, I know. But going off what you said too, Dan, like it's all about when you want to watch it as well too, especially when it's older.
Yeah,
like,
that's
like
true.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. but what I was about to say was about, I don't know if you're the same as us, but like we're strategic with what I pick what I'm watching, like mm-hmm. especially genre. Like when we said like Stranger Things and Game of Thrones, what was the other one?
Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know Ellie doesn't like horror, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I know she loves thrillers.
Yes.
Mm. So, like, I try to find things that's going to keep us on the edge of our seat, as well as, like, mind twisters.
Sure.
So, like, that's our relationship number one type shows. Like, stuff like that where it keeps us thinking, it keeps us arguing with each other.
We are watching on Amazon Peripheral.
What's that?
I've just been starting hearing about this. Tell me about this.
We are watching Peripheral, and that goes in the same sci-fi technology, like futurism technology to like the 10th power. So she gets this headset where she thinks she's in an AR, VR, like she thinks she's in a VR world, but actually she's in the future.
Oh.
Think about Ready Player One, the movie,
but
just darker.
Okay. Well, in the spirit, Ellie and Brawley, every time we see each other, this always happens. You recommend a show that I haven't seen, so I got to give one back to you. My recommendation for you guys, have you heard of Andor, the Star Wars show on Disney Plus?
No.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you're Star Wars people or not. You don't have to be. The thing about this show is it is a spy thriller that has just kind of like futuristic sci-fi aspects to it. It is in the Star Wars universe, but it doesn't matter. You don't need to see anything else. You don't need to watch any of the movies. It's quite literally, I think, maybe the best spy thriller I've seen in a long time. It's one of the best shows of the year. Incredibly well done. I think you guys would like it a lot. Watch Andor together. I think you'll love it.
What time is it right now? It's 10:15. That will be done. That'll be done by 1 a.m. this morning.
We will binge watch that tonight.
That'll be done in a few minutes.
Honestly, after this, I'm going to watch an episode of Peripheral. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah,
I will. Peripheral. I absolutely will.
I definitely want to check it out. I did notice that you guys don't watch a lot of reality.
Ooh. Uh-uh.
None at all.
Wait. The only reality show that you need to be watching is my show, the Harlem Globetrotters show, every Saturday morning on NBC at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
It's called Play It Forward.
I love it.
Awesome.
Oh, this is great. I think with that, that's a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs, guys. This was so much fun. Thank you so much to our guests, Ellie and Brawley. Where can we find you guys? What are you guys up to? What are your socials? Where can the listeners find you guys now?
I mean, I got a social. I don't know. She's not on social too much.
I'm private because my social media is just like my scrapbook of my life.
Talk about Solidarity Media.
Oh, me and my two of my friends. We are starting a venture of making our own production company for basically surrounding like female and femme voices and people of color and traditionally marginalized groups. And that's the type of media that we want to see more of and produce and be like both behind the scenes. We need more people of color behind the camera as well as in front of the camera. So that's Solidarity Media.
That's awesome. Check out Solidarity Media, making moves in the near future. That's awesome.
Absolutely. I'm on Instagram, 11_cheese, and they call me Cheese, got the best smile in the world. I mean, that's not it, but I just know this was a great experience, and I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity, and the sky's the limit for you both.
Yeah, such a great experience to have my first podcast. So fun. Yes. Talking about TV. I was scared. I was nervous.
I was scared too.
I didn't want to mess up.
You guys were amazing.
Thank you.
Great picks, great comments, great commentary. Like, you guys clearly like really thought about it, really talked about it, and you guys brought on really great lists of shows that felt very representative of
And it was so much fun to talk to you guys about all of this stuff. Like, you're obviously TV lovers. And that's
I'm glad
honestly,
that shows.
Like, I could talk TV all day. So I'm so happy that you guys came on. And I hope that we made you feel comfortable and secure.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yes, you did. I felt like once we started talking, you guys felt way more comfortable. And actually, it's because this is a couple episodes, just a little plug for us. We're going to get married in November of 2023.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And that will be the greatest show of all time.
The greatest of all time. The Forever Show.
That's the Forever Show.
Yeah. Get yourselves a good videographer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A couple of them.
That's awesome. Yes. Please follow Ellie, follow Brawley, and follow us. You can rate, review, and subscribe. You can check us out on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast or email us at tvbffpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from all of you. So reach out, send us your six. We want to know, what are your top six shows of all time and where do they fall on your own personal BFF criteria? So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. But until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Bye. Thank you.
Good job, y'all.